WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Police in Augusta County investigate bomb threats at a high school and at Augusta Health. In Charlottesville, Governor Spanberger signs legislation banning firearms on public college and university campuses. Meanwhile, the governor says she will veto a bill that would allow state and local employees to collectively bargain. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, May 14th. The Augusta County Sheriff's Office investigated bomb threats at Buffalo Gap High School and Augusta Health's main facility Wednesday afternoon. The office said they were investigating a bomb threat called into the school shortly after 1 p.m. According to a news release from Augusta Health, the threat to the hospital was called in around 1:30. Buffalo Gap High and Middle Schools were placed on lockdown in response to the threat, and all Augusta County public schools were secured. Access to the hospital campus was restricted, although the emergency department was kept open. Both places were cleared shortly after 4 p.m. without incident. Full disclosure, Augusta Health underwrites programming on WMRA. Governor Abigail Spanberger signed new laws at ceremonies in Charlottesville on Tuesday, including one in the University of Virginia Rotunda, just a few blocks away from the site of a 2022 triple murder. That legislation bans firearms on public college and university campuses. WMRA's Christine Cuter reports.
Against the backdrop of a verdant, graduation-ready campus, and more than 3 years after a shooting at UVA that left three undergraduate student-athletes dead, Governor Abigail Spanberger signed a new law Tuesday that, for the first time, expands a ban on possessing firearms or explosives to public college and university campuses. It took four tries to pass the new law, which Senator Cree Deeds first introduced in 2022 after the UVA murders. Along the way, the bill earned support from Delegate Katrina Kalson, who joined Deeds, UVA President Scott Beardsley, and UVA Police Chief Timothy Longo to mark its passage into law, which takes effect July 1, 2026. UVA has long banned weapons from its dorms. But before the new law, Chief Longo explained, if a student was caught with a firearm on campus,
we'd institute an interim suspension, we'd issue a no trespass order, we'd escort them off grounds, perhaps we would seize their weapon. Once they were off grounds, they'd knock on the front door of the police station and say, give me my gun back. And there wouldn't be anything I could do. It wouldn't be contraband, wouldn't be evidence of a crime. And so what this does is it opens up the whole range of possibilities and tools that we have in our criminal justice system to enforce criminal law, to save lives, and to prevent violence.
Senate Bill 272, also known as House Bill 626, expands restrictions on possessing firearms while in public spaces owned or leased by the state, including, now, public universities and colleges, even if carriers possess a valid concealed carry permit. The new law does not apply to law enforcement officers or security personnel, active military members, and those involved in cadet corps, such as ROTC, if they are participating in organized events. In late 2025, Christopher Darnell Jones Jr. received five life sentences, plus 23 years, for murdering Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis Jr., and Deshaun Perry, all UVA football players, on November 13, 2022, after they traveled with a group of 22 students on a field trip to see a play. Jones opened fire on his fellow students, some of whom were sleeping, as the charter bus returned to campus. Jones wasn't immediately arrested. During the hunt for the shooter, the UVA community instituted a 12-hour lockdown, forcing students to hide in closets, barricaded classrooms, and darkened dorm rooms. Police eventually apprehended Jones the following morning in Henrico County. Shortly after the 2022 shooting, Longo said in a press conference that Jones had been on the radar of the university's threat assessment team for supposedly owning a firearm. Longo said, even with the new law in place, it's still critical for people to report when they detect something or someone that's off.
What 2022 did was it sounded the alarm in this community that violence can happen anywhere. And I've often wondered how many people on these grounds, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a classmate, how many people knew that those guns existed in our dorm space? How many people knew that this individual had a weapon? Somebody knew something, somebody saw something, yet somebody did nothing. And from that came tragedy.
Chandler, Davis, and Perry all earned posthumous degrees from UVA the month following their murders. Had they survived, Chandler would today be 23, Davis 24, and Perry 25. Jones, who pled guilty to all the charges, will be 27 this November. Spanberger also signed a cache of 16 new laws focused on affordability, energy efficiency, and housing protections for Virginians, what her administration calls its Affordable Virginia Agenda, including protections for renters, outlawing higher health care premiums for tobacco users, new requirements for power companies to upgrade qualifying homes' energy efficiency, and reducing barriers to renters' use of small solar devices. For WMRA News, I'm Christine Cuter.
We've posted photos of the bill signing event and links to more information at WMRA.org, also on our app. Meanwhile, Governor Spanberger has told State Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville that she plans to veto a bill that would have allowed state and local employees to collectively bargain. Surville, a Democrat from Fairfax County, told Cardinal News that he is disappointed and perplexed at the governor's veto. He added that amendments Spanberger made to the legislation and that the General Assembly rejected had created an entirely new bill. The redistricting amendment is not the only proposed change to the state constitution that has faced a challenge in court. The proposed amendment protecting abortion rights also faces lawsuits. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
Virginia law currently requires parental consent for minors seeking abortions. But the language in a proposed constitutional amendment guarantees abortion rights to every individual, prompting a lawsuit from attorneys at the Founding Freedoms Law Center, charging that the ballot language is misleading because they say it would eliminate parental consent. The amendment was introduced by House Majority Leader Charnel Herring of Alexandria.
It's not unusual. People make arguments, and we'll see what the court says.
Well, so they were saying that the ballot language is misleading, specifically on the issue of the...
In case you couldn't hear it there, Herring said, "I disagree," as she walked away. Senator Jennifer Boyce was willing to say a little more. Boyce is a Democrat from Herndon who introduced the amendment in the Senate.
The constitutional amendment is silent on the issue of parental notification.
Olivia Gans-Turner at the Virginia Society for Human Life disagrees with that characterization.
Well, it's not silent in the sense that it means that anyone, adult or minor, would be able to have access to abortions.
Voters will consider the proposed constitutional amendment on abortion rights in November unless the legal challenges are successful. I'm Michael Pope.
Over the next 20 years, Dominion Energy says demand for power will double, and it hopes to get half of that electricity from solar. On Tuesday, the company unveiled its latest array in a surprising location. Radio IQ's Sandy Hausman reports.
When the Ivy Landfill near Charlottesville closed in 2002, the local waste authority spread land on top and began growing grass. There wasn't much else it could do, according to director Phil McCalips.
It's all built on buried trash. You can't do anything with it because it's a landfill.
But Dominion Energy saw an opportunity. It offered to lease and maintain 7,200 solar panels on the 14-acre site, a deal the Rivanna Solid Waste Authority could not turn down.
It's money instead of expense to us, so it's really nice.
Utility spokesman Tim Eberle says renewables now make up just 10% of Dominion's energy mix, but that will change.
We're expecting to have to add about 33 gigawatts of new power, and we are expecting more than half of that to be solar. It's going to be playing a huge role in our power generation strategy over the next 20 years.
Eberle says the Ivy site, smaller than what it now plans for arrays in Enrico and James City County, cost nearly $15 million to install, but the company pays nothing for fuel. I'm Sandy Hausman.
Virginia is one step closer to requiring diaper-changing tables in public bathrooms in newly constructed buildings. State Senator Elizabeth Bennett Parker proposed the new requirement last year as an update to the Commonwealth's Uniform Building Code. On Monday, the Board of Housing and Community Development moved forward with the proposal, which would require changing stations in men's and women's restrooms. The Virginia Mercury reports that the measure still needs to go through public feedback and a final vote before it's adopted. Preschool programs across the Commonwealth are now enrolling 3- and 4-year-old students ahead of the next school year. Megan Pauley with our partner station VPM News checked out one enrollment event hosted by Richmond Public Schools.
Juan Yip is stopped by the Sarah Garland Jones Center in Richmond's East End with his wife and 4-year-old daughter, Gabriella, on Wednesday. They filled out a preschool application for Gabriella.
I think she's more excited than we are because she's been getting up every morning, taking her sisters, walking them to the bus stop. So she's been like, you know, ready, I think.
Gloria Keating with Richmond Public Schools helped them sign up. She said many families have questions about age eligibility and transportation.
Every preschool bus has the driver and a monitor. They all have the 5-point safety seat belts, and so our old babies are buckled in and safe in the buses.
Keating encouraged families interested to sign up soon, even if their kids aren't fully potty trained. Those looking for help with enrollment can stop by the North Avenue Library Friday, May 22nd, from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Megan Pauley reporting. Finally today, July 18th was a sunny summer day in Russell County in southwest Virginia, until a thunderstorm cropped up over the small former coal town of Daint. No one thought much of it. Afternoon thunderstorms are common in July. But this one was different. The ground was already wet from days of rain, and the storm became a deluge. Radio IQ's Katie Burke explored why forecasting these floods is so tricky.
Tina Sanders didn't learn she needed to evacuate from the radio or TV.
It happened so fast. Within an hour, there was water everywhere.
Tina was taking a Sunday nap before going to church that afternoon when a ruckus outside awoke her. Seeing the water rising and her neighbors fleeing, Tina and her fiancé evacuated too, but they got stuck in rising water at the bottom of their road, near where Lit Creek runs through a tunnel under the train tracks. They got sucked into that culvert along with their vehicle. In the center of Daint, Tina's partner pulled himself out, but Tina couldn't.
I was gripping on to the pavement, trying to hold on and trying to get help, but the current was so strong it sucked me back into the culvert.
She was pulled through a hole where the pavement had collapsed.
My head hit the cement, cracked my head open. I don't know how long I was under there, but I was beat and banged, and the Lord got me through it.
The emergency rescue team was waiting for Tina at the next bridge.
I told the Lord, go in and take me. They pulled me out right about that time. When I first come out, I couldn't breathe.
Tina was taken to the hospital and says she's okay now.
I come out without a broken bone and just a few staples in my head.
21 people lost their homes. Thankfully, there were no fatalities. The flood blindsided Tina, her neighbors, and emergency responders. Flooding is the deadliest natural hazard in southwest Virginia, and it's intensifying because of climate change. A Climate Central analysis predicts that by 2050, Virginia could see a 19% increase in flood losses from the $856 million total in 2020. Southwest Virginia will face the brunt of those losses, along with the Chesapeake Bay and Norfolk areas. In Russell County, the Daint flood occurred within the same year as Hurricane Helene, a February flood, and bad winter storms, each compounding the strain on resources. Russell County Administrator Lonzo Lester oversaw the response to them all.
The county, we started expanding our emergency services and our first response, not just into the search and rescue, but we implemented over 17 community centers.
A big isolated summer storm like the one that caused the Daint flood is hard to predict, even in the best of circumstances. Craig Ramsayer studies flood prediction at Virginia Tech.
We're not going to know until real time that a flood's ongoing. And then we rely heavily on local data. And in Appalachia, we have huge gaps in those data on the ground, particularly rain gauges that are reporting at a resolution of, like, say, an hour.
The radar model estimates just over 3 inches of rain that day in Daint, which Ramsayer says may not be accurate.
We've been in this unique space where we don't have great rain gauge data, and the radar data we do get may have some errors that are quite large.
Solving this issue isn't straightforward because even when there is data, it isn't all in the same place. Aaron Rothman is co-founder and chief scientist of Merrick Labs and has been working in neighboring Buchanan and Dickinson counties. Her work is funded through a nonprofit called Rise Resilience Innovations.
National Weather Service has some information. NOAA presents some information. USGS presents some information. And VDEM presents some information, but nobody consolidates everything in one spot, which is mind-boggling.
Rothman and her team pulled together a ton of data, spatial information, weather forecasts and radar models, flood risks, and water levels.
It's kind of like a real-time control center for flooding. Once we get a ping within the next 72 hours that we're supposed to expect something, we start tracking that forecast and then notifying the county or emergency management that there is a storm coming.
Local governments can get their own rain gauges. Rothman recommends ones that send their data to satellites every 5 to 15 minutes. But in this variable terrain, you can't monitor every watershed.
That's why we try to prioritize based on areas that we know flood repeatedly or more people are going to be impacted or whatever the reasons are that the county identifies as a priority.
In Daint, the Virginia Department of Emergency Management has taken an important step toward filling the weather data gap in the region. In April, they installed a top-notch rain gauge at Artie Lee Campground, which is above the area that flooded. In Daint, I'm Katie Burke.
This story is a collaboration with Climate Central and was supported by the Pulitzer Center. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.